And we are live.
Good morning,
everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be with you this awesome, very cold morning, because it is chilly out there. How about 30 degrees chilly? But God,
it's cold.
It is cold out there. And now they're talking snow late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So be prepared Sunday. Get dressed. Put on them long underwear and get your good old sweater on and get ready, because it's going to be a little bit cold. But you know what? We are warm in heart because we got God. So you can't say nothing, but let's set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I need more of you, God. Hallelujah. And the word of God that came this morning was, do not defile the holy name of the Lord our God. You know, God is taking Ezekiel through some stuff. He's taking him through the house of God. He's taking him through every part of the house of God. And he's letting him know that my house has been defiled. You know, I've done some things that I'm doing for a purpose and a reason, because Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't reverence my house like they were supposed to reverence it. And God was upset. And so that's why he sent them into captivity. And his mother said he brought many back in the 40s, 1948. And they reestablished Israel. But there was no reestablishing needed. Israel was already there. It never left. The people did. But God is wanting us to love him, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And he wants us to reverence him. Just reverence him. So as we get ready this morning, we're going to give a little history lesson. We're going to go back and see why some things were done the way they were done. Ezekiel is going to take us through. And he's going to take us through to the throne of grace, to the throne of mercy. He's going to take us through to the presence of the Father and the Son. He's going to take us there. The question is, are you ready to go on a voyage this morning? Mother and I were laughing before we came on this morning because we are both Star Trek fans. And we're both fans of Star Trek Discovery, which is about to go into its, I believe, sixth and final season, or fifth and final season. And I absolutely love this show because they started it on their pay channel. And I was like in thought. I got the pay channel, Paramount, just for Discovery because it just looked so interesting. And then I got hooked on Picard in A Brand New World. And so I'm like totally Paramount, Discovery, Star Trek universe. I'm even going back and watching the old Voyager movie, Voyager show, you know, and give me Deep Space Nine, and I ain't going to know how to act. Because
and then
I had
you got
thing,
Strange
you know.
New Worlds. Strange New
yes,
Worlds. And
that.
Then Michael.
Yes.
Michael Green, Strange
Absolutely.
New Worlds. He's a whole lot going on.
It's a whole lot of Star Trek going on Paramount. And I'm right there in growth, in the voice, you know, to discover Strange New Worlds. Come on now. And, you know, the one awesome thing in the Word, Mother, is that as we
you
read
got
the Word of God.
You got Picard.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, Janeway, come on now. Hey, and let's not forget, I call him Captain Hawk because he was Hawk on Spencer for Hire first. And then he became the captain on Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space
and
Nine.
I thought, oh, yes.
Yeah, don't too many people
handsome
remember
man.
Him as Hulk. They don't remember him as Hulk. They don't remember him as Hulk.
No,
but
most
I
of the generation remembers him from Deep Space Nine. Because
Deep Space
when
Nine.
He was Hulk, when my husband decided to go completely bald, I used to say, and he put on this little beanie hat, I said, uh-oh now. Lieutenant Colonel Hawk is in the house, you know, because I just thought it was so cute. But anyway, we're going
to
get started because Mother Valerie and I can, you know, we can go all sci-fi on y'all. But we're going to stay in the Word of God because, you know, when you say we got to get excited. But I always say, though, and, you know, now taking this a serious place, if
Amen.
It can be imagined, it can happen. And that's one thing I say, when you see people on, we watch sci-fi, but I in my whole mind and spirit, I cannot imagine that God did not create other worlds, that God did not create other lands and other planets with people on them, other galaxies. I can't imagine that God did not, because the Word of God tells us in Genesis that the Lord created the universe. Then they say he created everything. So if there are aliens, and we have seen the word numerous times in the Bible, aliens, even though we want to call them that it's people that come from another place, but he also calls strangers. And he names places that people come from. But there are words that say aliens. And, you know, if you want to go all outside the thing and say, well, you know, what if he's talking about real visitors from other planets? Because if you go to History Channel, they have a whole segment on ancient aliens.
UFOs.
No, we don't know.
A lot of UFOs.
We don't know what, but I do believe in my heart that God didn't just create us, that he did create others, that he did create other planets, that he did create other worlds. Because why? It says so in the Word of God. It says so. And so we got to open our minds and not be narrow-minded and put God in a little small box. Because God is bigger than the universe, as the song says. You're bigger than the universe. He's bigger than anything we can imagine, think, or see. And so we got to get out of trying to box God. Let God be who he is. And so, Mother, as we laugh and talk about our sci-fi journey, all I can say is, Mother, do you remember where they used to push a button on the side of their head and be able to talk to somebody? Guess what? I can push a button on the side of my head and talk to you. I can look at my watch and talk to you. I can look at my phone and see your face. All those things we saw back in the day on those Dick Tracy and Star Trek and all those quote-unquote sci-fi shows. We better understand, if it can be imagined, it can be done. So think that through. Before we want to put box God, we can't box God. God is bigger than we can ever imagine. And we
Amen.
Don't know where the heaven is that God is in seven heavens. But we know that God is in the heavens and we are on the earth. We don't know where God is, but we know we can talk to him every day. And that's something to be grateful for. Mother Valerie, will you bring us in prayer? And we ask all of you, stay with us this morning, because I know there are going to be some that's going to say, this is so boring. All they're talking about is going to the temple, going to the gate, going here, going there. Where's the meat? You know, this is meat. This is God giving you a history and an understanding on what happened, and that his house should be holy, that you cannot defile the holy name of God. God is more than we could ever imagine again. We cannot defile God's name. We cannot defile the name of Jesus. You got folks that say stuff, and you're looking, and you're like, do you realize that's blasphemy? And they look at you like you're the one that's crazy. Oh, here we go, another holy roller. But don't play with God, and don't play with the name of God. Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh. He is our God, and he's everything. Mother Valerie will be reading for us this morning, chapter 39 through chapter 41 of the book of Ezekiel. And I will be back in also the book of Ezekiel on this Old Testament Friday. I will be in Ezekiel chapter 42, 43, and 44 this morning. And we ask God to add a blessing to the readers and hearers of his word. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you. You did it again. You did it again. And you will do it again. We thank you for the sunrise. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the people that are listening to the word of God. And let the word of God go forth to all your people that are supposed to be listening. Let them get understanding. Yes, it says rightly divide the word of God, and that's what we're trying to do. Thank you for Pastor Bridget bringing the Bible talk show to the public. We thank you, God, and bless her as she travels today. She probably have to go back to work again today, but she had a beautiful Thanksgiving with her family. And, Lord, we're just thankful, and we're thankful. We're thankful that you set aside a day for all of us to gather with our families and be thankful. And each person in my family had family with them. So I am grateful. I am thankful. And you woke me up. I'm in my right mind. Didn't fall out the bed. I got a warm house. I got food left over. There's so much, God, because there are other people that are out there that don't have food. And they don't have shelter, and it's cold out there. So bless people everywhere, God. Let them know that you are God. You are God. Mm. And all they have to do is call on you, repent of their sins, and you'll let them know who you are. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Coming out of 39.
Thank you so much, Mother.
You, Son of Man, prophesies against God and say, thus says Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O God, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I'll turn you around, lead you on, bring you up from the far north, bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you, all your troops, and the people who are with you. I'll give you to the birds of prey of every sort, to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, and I will send fire on Magog and on all those who live in security in the coastland. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. The title is Do Not Defile the Holy Name. Don't defile the holy name of the Lord. So then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire, burn the weapons, both the shields and the buckles, the bows and the arrows, the spears, and they will make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field nor cut down from the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them and privilege those who privilege them, says the Lord God. It will come to pass in that day that I will give God a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by the east of the sea. And it will obstruct travelers, because they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Hamon, God. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be barren them in order to cleanse the land. Indeed, all the people of the land will be barren, and they will again renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed, and with the help of search parties to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bone, he shall set up a marker by it till the burials have buried it in the Valley of Hamon God. The name of the city will also be called Hamon. Thus they shall cleanse the land. And as for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird, to every beast of the field. He says, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come. Gather together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you, a great sacrificial meal on the mountain of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls, all of them fatlings of Israel. You shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk. At my sacrificial meal, which I'm sacrificing for you, you shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men, with all the men of war, says the Lord God. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know, house of Israel shall know, that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Gentiles should know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquities, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness, according to their transgression, I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. Or I wouldn't want God to hide his face from me. So if we sin, we have to repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us, so God don't turn his back on you or hide his face from you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. I will be jealous for my holy name. After they have bore their sin and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land and no one made them afraid, when I have brought them back from the people and gathered them out of their enemy's land, and I'm hallowed in them in the sight of many nations. God brought Israel back as a nation, May 14, 1948. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. I'll not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captive, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel, set me on a very high mountain. On it, toward the south, was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. Man said to me, son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears. Fix your mind on everything I show you, for you were brought here so that I may show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Now there was a wall all around the outside of the temple. In the man's hand was a measuring rod, 6 cubits long, each being a cubit and a hand breadth. And he measured the width of the wall structure, one rod, height, one rod. Then he went to the gateway, which faced east, and he went up the stairs, measured the threshold of the gateway, which was one rod wide, and the other threshold was one rod wide. Each gate chamber was one rod long, one rod wide. Between the gate chambers was the space of 5 cubits. Threshold of the gateway by the vestibule of the inside gate was one rod. He also measured the vestibule of the inside gate, one rod. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway, 8 cubits. Gatepost, 2 cubits. The vestibule of the gate was on the inside. In the eastern gateway were 3 gate chambers on one side, 3 on the other. The 3 were all the same size. All the gateposts were of the same size, on this side and that side. He measured the width of the entrance to the gateway, 10 cubits. The length of the gate, 13 cubits. There was a space in front of the gate cubits, 1 cubit on this side and 1 cubit on that side. The gate chambers was 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. Then he measured the gateway from the roof of one gate chamber to the roof of the other. The width was 25 cubits at the door, face's door. He measured the gate post 60 cubits high, and the court all around the gate was extended to the gate post. From the front of the entrance gate to the front of the vestibule of the inner gate was 50 cubits. That they were window frames in the gate chambers and in their intervening archway on the inside of the gateway all around, likewise in the vestibule. There were windows all around on the inside and on each gatepost were palm trees. Then he brought me into the outer court. There were chambers, a pavement made all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement. The pavement was by the side of the gateway corresponding to the length of the gateway. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the width from the front of the lower gateway to the front of the inner court, exterior 100 cubits toward the east and the north. On the outer court was also a gateway facing north, and he measured its length and its width. His gate chambers, 3 on this side, 3 on that side, his gate posts and its archways had the same measurements as the first gate. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 25 cubits. Its windows and those of its archway and also its palm trees had the same measurement as the gateway facing east. It was ascended by 7 steps, and its archway was in front of it. A gate of the inner court was opposite the northern gateway, just as the eastern gateway, and he measured that gateway to gateway 100 cubits. After that, he brought me toward the south. There was a gateway with space in south, and he measured its gatepost. Oh, he had a whole lot of work to do. Archway, according to these same measures, they were windows in it, and in its archway all around, like those windows, its length was 50 cubits, and its width 25 cubits. 7 steps led to it, and its archways went in front of them. It had palm trees on the gateposts, one on this side and one on that side. There's also a gateway on the inner court, facing south. He measured from gateway to gateway toward the south, 100 cubits. Then he brought me to the inner court, through the southern gateway. He measured the southern gateway according to the same measurement. Also, its gate chambers, its gate posts, and its archways were according to the same measurement. Windows were in it, and its archway all around, it was 50 cubits long, 25 cubits wide. There were archways all around, 25 cubits long, 5 cubits wide. Its archway faced the outer court. Palm trees were on it. Gateposts and going up to it were 8 steps. Boy, he was doing some measuring. I think if I had to do all that measuring, I might have been tired. And he brought me into the inner court facing east. He measured the gateway according to these same measurements. Also, a gate chambers, a gateposts, archways were according to the same measurement. There were windows in it, and its archway all around. It was 60 cubits long, 25 cubits wide. Its archway faced out the court. Palm trees were on it, gateposts on this side and on that side, and going up to it were 8 steps. Then he brought me to the north gateway, measured it according to the same measurement. Also, its gate changes, its gateposts, its archway, It had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits, and in its width, 25 cubits. Gate posts faced the outer court. Palm trees was on it. Gate posts on this side and on that side. Going up to it was 8 steps. 8 steps. There was a chamber in its entrance by the gatepost of the gateway where they washed the burnt offering. In the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables on this side, 2 tables on that side, on which to slay the burnt offering, sin offering, trespass offering. At the outer side of the vestibule, as one goes up to the entrance of the northern gateway, were 2 tables, and on the other side of the vestibule of the gateway were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side, 4 tables were on that side by the side of the gateway, 8 tables on which they slaughtered the sacrifice. Also, there were 4 tables of hewn stone for the burnt offering, 1 cubit, a half long, 1 cubit, and a half wide, 1 cubit high. On these they laid the instrument with which they slaughtered the burnt offering and the sacrifice. Inside was hooks, a hand breadth, wide, fastened all around, and the flesh of the sacrifice were on the table. Outside the inner gate were the chambers for the singers in the inner court, one facing south at the side of the northern gateway, and the other facing north on the side of the southern gateway. Then he said to me, this chamber, which faced south, is for the priests who have charge of the temple. The chamber which faced north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, for the sons of Levi, who comes near the Lord to minister to him. He measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide, 4 square. The altar was in the front of the temple. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple, measured the doorposts of the vestibule, 5 cubits on this side, 5 cubits on that side. And the width of the gateway was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. Now, what is a cubit? I do not know. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits, and I'm going to look that up. And the width, 11 cubits. And by the steps which led up to it, there were pillars by the doorpost, one on this side and another on that side. So, you know, I have to look up what a cubit is because I really don't know Ezekiel 41. Then he brought me into the sanctuary and measured the doorpost, 6 cubits wide on one side, 6 cubits wide on the other side. The width of the tabernacle, the width of the entryway was 10 cubits, and the side walls of the entry was 5 cubits on this side, 5 cubits. On the other side, and he measured its length, 40 cubits, and its width, 20 cubits. Also, he went inside and measured the doorpost, 2 cubits, the entrance, 6 cubits high, and the width of the entrance, 7 cubits. And he measured the length, 20 cubits, and the width, 20 cubits beyond the sanctuary. And he said to me, this is the most holy place. And our subject is do not foul the holy name of the Lord. Next, he measured the wall of the temple, 6 cubits, the width of each side's chamber all around the temple was 4 cubits on every side. The side chambers were in 3 stories, one above the other, 30 chambers in each story. They rest on ledges, which were for the side chamber all around that they might be supported, but not fastened to the wall of the temple. As one went up from the story to story, the side chamber became wider all around because their supporting ledgers and the wall of the temple ascended like steps. Therefore, the width of the structure increased as one went up from the lower story to the highest by the way of the middle one. I also saw elevation all around the temple. It was the foundation of the side chamber, a full rod, that is 6 cubits high. The thickness of the outer wall of the side chamber was 5 cubits, and so also the remaining terrace by the place of the side chambers of the temple. and between it and the wall chamber was a width of 20 cubits all around the temple on every side. The door of the side chambers opened on the terrace, one door toward the north and another toward the south. And on the width of the terrace was 5 cubits all around. The building that faced the separating courtyard at its western end was 70 cubits wide. The wall of the building was 5 cubits thick all around, and its length 90 cubits. So he measured the temple 100 cubits long, and the separating courtyard with its building and its walls was 100 cubits long. Also, the width of the eastern face of the temple, including the separating courtyard, was 100 cubits. He measured the length of the building behind it, facing the separating courtyard, with its gallery on one side and the other side, 100 cubits, as well as the inner temple, the porches of the court, their doorposts, the window frames, and the gallery all around the 3 stories opposite the threshold were paneled with wood from the ground to the windows. The windows were covered from the space above the door, even to the inner room, as well as outside. On every wall, all around, inside and outside, by measure, it was made with cherubims and palm trees between the cherubim and cherubim. Each cherubim had 2 faces, so that the face of a man was toward a palm tree on one side, and the face of a young lion toward a palm tree on the other side. Thus it was made throughout the temple, all around. I bet that temple was really something to see. It had to be something to see. From the floor to the space above the door and on the wall of the sanctuary, terrapins and palm trees were carved. Doorposts of the temple were square, as was the front of a sanctuary. Their appearance was similar. The altar was of wood 3 cubits high, its length 2 cubits. Its corners, its length, and its sides were of wood. And he said to me, "This is the table that is before the Lord." The temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors. The doors had 2 panels apiece, 2 folding panels, 2 panels for one door and 2 panels for the other door. Cherubim and palm trees was carved on the doors of the temple, just as they were carved on the wall. That had to be a sight to see. I mean, when he's measuring all these cubits high, the temple is this, everything was measured, everything was done correctly, the way God gave it. A wooden canopy was on the front of the vestibule outside. There were window frames and palm trees on one side and on the other, on the side of the vestibule, also on the side chambers of the temple, and on the canopies. My goodness gracious me. It brought me into the sanctuary and measured the doorpost 6 cubits wide, and on one side and 6 cubits wide on the other side. I mean, this were a lot of measuring, but he wanted it done just right. It had to be done just so. Just right. Thus says the Lord God. So we're in chapter 42, and I'll turn this back over to the pastor. Boy, were they doing some measuring. Cubit here and 100 cubits there and high and the cherubim and the palm trees. You know, if you walked into that, I mean, your eyes would go from here to there. That's a sight to behold. That was something to see. That had to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful and gorgeous temple. My Lord and my God. Do not doubt the holy name of the Lord. Turning this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Mother Valerie, as you were speaking, I said, well, I want to know what a cubic is, too. So I went and looked it up. And a cubic is a three-dimensional. It's like a three-dimensional box. It's not a square because square is two-dimensional. But it says it equals out all around 1 foot. So it's 1 foot in every dimension, 1 foot. So you're saying, if you're saying it's 100 cubits, that is 100 feet tall. So go ahead and imagine 100 feet tall. I'm 5 feet tall. So 100 feet. And it's like, whoa. It's mind boggling.
Yeah, that temple is beautiful.
And humongous. 100 cubits. And I'm just thinking of my little 5 feet self. It's 95 feet taller than me.
Whoa.
And I'm thinking, wow, my little 5 feet self, 95 feet taller than I am. It's amazing. You're looking at the Empire State Building kind of thing. And you're like, wow, God, do not defile the holy name of the Lord our God, because it is magnificent. God is magnificent. And we are so humbly his children. We can't outgive God. We can't outbuild God. We can't do anything. He is so amazing. And as we get into our words, you know, it says this in chapter 42 of Ezekiel. Then he brought me out into the outer court by the way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber which was opposite the separating courtyard, and which was the opposite the building toward the north, facing the length, which was 100 cubits. The width was 50 cubits. So just imagine, 100 cubits tall, 50 cubits wide, 10 times of me going wide. It's like, whoa, was the north door opposite the inner court of 20 cubits, and opposite the pavement of the outer court was gallery against gallery in 3 stories. In front of the chambers toward the inside was a walk 10 cubits wide at a distance of 1 cubit, and their doors faced north. Now, the upper chambers were shorter because the galleries took away space from them more than from the lower and middle stories of the building, for they were in 3 stories and did not have pillars like the pillars of the court. Therefore, the upper level was shortened more than the lower and middle levels from the ground up. And a wall which was outside ran parallel to the chambers at the front of the chambers toward the outer court. Its length was 50 cubits. The length of the chambers toward the outer court was 50 cubits, whereas that facing the temple was 100 cubits. At the lower chamber was the entrance to the east side of as one goes into them from the outer court. Also, there were chambers in the thickness of the wall of the court toward the east, opposite the separated courtyard and opposite the building. There was a walk in front of them also, and their appearance was like the chambers which were toward the north. They were as long and as wide as the others, and all their exits and entrances were according to plan and corresponding to the doors of the chambers that were facing south. As one enters them, there was a door in front of the walk, the way directly in front of the wall toward the east. Then he said to me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are opposite the separated courtyard, are the holy chambers, where the priests who approach the Lord shall eat the most holy offerings. There they shall lay the most holy offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the trespass offerings. For the place is holy. When the priests enter them, they shall not go out of the holy chamber into the outer court, but there they shall leave their garments in which they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on other garments, then they may approach that which is for the people. Now, when he had finished measuring the inner temple, he brought me out through the gateway and faces toward the east and measured it all around. He measured the east side with the measuring rod, 500 rods by the measuring rod all around. He measured the north side 500 rods by the measuring rod all around. He measured the south side 500 rods by the measuring rod. He came around to the west side and measured 500 rods by the measuring rod. He measured it on the fourth side. It had a wall all around 500 cubits long and 500 wide to separate the holy areas from the common. Wow. Do not defile the holy name of the Lord our God. He gave instruction even on the garment, when to wear and what to wear and to take them off, that you cannot wear holy garments outside of the holy chamber. And then chapter 43, it says, afterwards, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate, which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. They gnaw their kings by their harlotry or with the carcasses of their kings on the high places. When they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorposts by my doorposts, with a wall between them and me, they defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore, I have consumed them in my anger and let them put their harlotry and the carcasses of their kings far away from me. And I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquity, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubit is one cubit and a hand's breadth. The base one cubit high and one cubit wide, with the rim all around its edge of one span. This is the height of the altar from the base on the ground to the lowered ledge, two cubits. The width of the ledge, one cubit. From the smaller ledge to the larger ledge, four cubits. And the width of the ledge, one cubit. The altar height is four cubits high, with four horns extending upward from the arch. The altar arch is 12 cubits long, 12 wide, square at its four corners. The ledge, 14 cubits long and 14 wide on its four sides, and the rim of half a cubit around it. Its base, one cubit all around, and its steps face toward the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances for the altar on the day when it is made for sacrifice and burnt offerings on it and for sprinkling blood on it. You shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priest. The Levites who are of the seed of Zadok, who approach me to minister to me, say the Lord God, you shall take some of its blood and put it on the four horns of the altar, on the four corners of the ledge, and on the rim around it. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. Then you shall also take the bull of the sin offering and burn it in the appointed place of the temple outside the sanctuary. On the second day you shall offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day of 7 days, you shall prepare a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, so consecrate it. When these days are over, it shall be on the eighth day thereafter that the priest shall offer your burnt offering and your peace offering on the altar. I will accept you, says the Lord God. The glory of God is in the temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep for him. We got to know that God is in charge of everything, and we cannot defile the holy name of our Lord God. We got to keep it holy. Don't play church. God don't play that. In chapter 44, then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. The Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is a prince, he may stand in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. Also, he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its law. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as priests, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple, for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. The Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner court that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they are ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows or priests. In other words, they can't marry just anybody. They can't marry just any Sally, Susie, or Jane. They got to marry especially either the widow of a priest or a virgin. They can't marry just any old body. God put purposes and reasons. Because the wife of a priest is going to have a holy countenance, we hope. And a virgin is innocent and able to be taught in the ways of the Lord. But just a widow of any old body may bring sin into the camp. So they have to be very careful who they allow, as they say, in their bed as their spouse. And he goes on to say, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for mother or father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him, and on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer a sin offering in the inner court to the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs, the best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest. Also you shall give to the priest the first of your grain ground meal to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. God put edits in for a purpose and for a reason. He wants priests to have it together. You can't come in with any old attitude, any old garment. You got to come correct and be ready to go to work. And even as your uniform that you should wear, you can't wear just any old thing. Everything is put down in words what God wants from his priest, what he wants from his people. And in Ezekiel 43:2, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Even today, the whole earth shines from the glory of God's creative genius. But one day it will shine with the glory of his redemptive and saving genius. When the Savior rules in fullness, complete joy will finally arrive. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. But don't try to force his return. That's the point. Don't try to force the return of the Savior. He is coming back. but he does not need you to help him get here. He can get here on his own. The Lord is waiting for us to repent and get it right and get our life together, because so many times we want to play with God. We can't play with God. We can't play with his countenance. We can't play with his word. And it tells us, and I got my other study book. It says, why were the windows covered in chapter 41, Mother read, to shut the world out of the sacred space where God's glory resided. The interior walls of the most holy place were lined from floor to ceiling with fragrant cedar, which also provided a sweet aroma to balance the scent of sacrifices. Solomon's temple was built this way, 1 Kings 6 and 15, and so will the temple in Ezekiel's vision be built. God has given us understanding. We got to read the word and meditate on it day and night. And when we go to chapter 42, it says, why did the priests eat the offering? Because that was their portion. They didn't let food go to waste. It didn't go to waste because it was sacred and it was offered. And God gave it for a purpose and a reason. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, oh, we have some words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol, this morning. And Sister Carol's word for yesterday was this. Good morning. Let our hearts be full of both thanks and giving. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a thankful Thursday. And then she sends us another. She says, happy Thanksgiving. Blessings, sending love and hugs to you. And today, good morning. What is impossible with man is possible with God. 100 cubits high, 50 cubits wide. God can make it happen. We cannot shortchange God. We cannot think that God can't do it, because whatever he says he will do, he will do. And we got to give God reverence because he deserves it. He is the Father. Do not defile the holy name of the Lord our God. Don't try giving God other names. He's got a plan. But you better not defile it, because he will not hold you harmless. God is speaking today, and he's asking us, take me at my word. Be there. Lift up. Know who I am. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am who I say I am. God is everything. He is everything. And we got to remember that. We've got to remember who God is. And not play with his name. Not make little nicknames. He is our Father. He is the Holy One. He is Most High. And we should reverence him at all times. And that is our word for this morning. Come join me on Sunday as we go through the Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament. We will be in James chapter 5, and we will be starting in a new book. Yes. Can y'all say that with me? Yes. And that will be in 1 Peter. And we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 6 on Sunday. God willing, and the creek don't rise. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Mother Valerie, have a wonderful weekend. Keep me in prayer, everyone, as I travel the highways and byways today. I travel, both my shifts are out of town, but I'm grateful. I worked up yesterday, and I'm a little tired, but I know that what I do for the glory of God, because God will always get the credit for what I do to help others. And that's what we ought to do. Remember that God loves us, and he loves a cheerful giver. Give unto the Lord your very best, and watch him give back to you more than you can ever imagine. Keep trusting God. Keep believing in God. And keep knowing that there is only one God, and we will reverence his holy name. Mother Valerie, thank you so much. Family, again, thank you so much. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other, in Jesus' precious and most holy name. We pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Don't overshop today. If you don't have the money, don't buy it, because you don't want to go into a whole bunch of debt. Watch God work. He'll give you what you need, and it'll be the price you need it. Like I said, I like to shop with Sister Carolyn. Now, Sister Carolyn, now we pray before we go in, and then she'll say, I don't want to pay more than $5 for that. And guess what? It'll be $4.99. Look at God when we do it. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. Keep Sister Carolyn in the prayers as well, as she is traveling. She'll be traveling back, I believe, next week. And Mother, have a good rest. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. You are a joy and a pleasure, and I just love to broadcast with you. Everybody, thank you for those that spoke on yesterday. Thank you. Special thanks to Mother Rita, who is my absolute, I love you, love you, love you, and I thank God for you and your presence. You just make me glow. So thank you, God, for the glow. Thank you, God, for the hope. Thank you, God, for everything. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, it is our final closing, and it is a wrap.
Going back to bed, Miss Rita. It's a wrap. Bye-bye.